Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Monthly Comics Spotlight number one, and I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing some of the comics we got in July 2020. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Now, this is going to be interesting. We've stopped doing the weekly comic spotlight back when weekly shipments stopped.
Yep.
We've been doing back issue spotlights for a while. We're going to continue those. But we thought it'd be fun to talk about what's current and coming out. So we said, oh, let's do this compromise. We'll do a monthly comic spotlight. And I got to tell you, when I was starting to put my notes together over the weekend, I'm like, I literally had just read a few of them, and it had been weeks since I read a few of the others.
Yeah, and the memory kind of... It's amazing how much it fades as you distance yourself from the comics.
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, I had one point in time, and this was, you know, maybe a decade ago, where, you know, I had a chair with a short box on each side of it, one that was the stuff to read, the others where I'd put it when I was done.
Yeah.
So I'd pull it, I'd take it out of the bag of the board, I'd read it, I'd put it back, I'd put it face down. And there were times that as soon as it was face down, I couldn't even tell you which title I'd read.
That's when you know you're reading too much, right?
Well, yeah, and part of it is, was it Batman, was it Detective, was it Legends of the Dark Knight, was it, you know, some of them, it's like, it was an X-Men book or a mutant book that doesn't narrow it down.
That makes me laugh because I've had that moment.
Yeah,
Many times.
Well, and that's the difference between back when I was reading 50 or 60 books a week, and now where I think I read, I don't know, 72 in July, maybe, give or take?
Yeah, that's a big decrease. And I'm more than you, but not that much more. I'm probably like 100.
Yeah, yeah.
And before I was reading a heck of a lot more, you know, it would have been probably a couple hundred.
Yeah, at one point it was just... It was crazy for me, and I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong. And I don't know that I'm really missing the books I'm not getting.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I find myself quicker to cut things and slower to add things onto my list. And if you keep that mentality, your list kind of gets a little bit smaller over time.
Oh, yeah. I think if you want to cut back on your reading of comics, the way to do it is to be very selective about what you add to your list.
Yep.
You don't even need to cut stuff. The publishers will do that for you.
Yeah, pretty much. Marvel and DC, they kind of get rid of stuff for me all the time. And Image, I should say, and all the indies. They just get rid of books almost week to week, it seems like. Things are completing, wrapping up, or just gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to use the same basic format we did for the weekly comic spotlight. DC, then Marvel, then others. But instead of talking about a particular book, we're going to talk about what worked for us, what didn't work for us, maybe what we're looking forward to, and just kind of go from there.
All right, cool.
So starting in DC... Really, there wasn't a single book where I'm like, oh my god, this was amazing. There were a lot that were good.
I had one that I really, really enjoyed.
Which was it?
Believe it or not, it was the last book I read the last week, Suicide Squad number 7 by Tom Taylor.
I have not been reading Suicide Squad.
Okay, what was weird is Tom Taylor went on there and I'm like, I gotta try it because I love the guy who's a writer. And I felt like it was okay, you know, good, a good you know, comic.
Mm-hmm.
And issue 7, I feel like, was one of his best issues in the series so far. So I was really happy with it.
That's one I've been curious about because I think Tom Taylor is just a great writer.
Yeah. It seems like anything that he works on, it's going to be good to great. I seldomly read things that I just dislike by him or, this isn't sitting well with me. So I see his name on a project, I'm usually going to read it.
I can understand that. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But Suicide Squad really did it for me. That was probably the best book, and I was struggling because I was like you. I was like, there was some good stuff, some okay stuff, but there was nothing that was really, you know, vibing with me until I read Suicide Squad, and that was the one. I was like, oh, that's the book of the month for DC, I felt like.
I can totally understand that. Yeah, for me, the stuff that stood out as being good was Action Comics, Batman, Superman, Flash, Shazam, Young Justice, and man, Wonder Woman. It was a weird month because the first of the two issues that came out, I'm like, you know, I'm really ready for that new creative team. Second of the two was the new creative team.
How was that? Because I didn't jump on with the new creative team.
Michael Janin's art, I do not think you can go wrong with that. He's got just a really nice, clean style. I've loved him on other books. I'm enjoying his work there. I'm curious about Maxwell Lord's backstory in this timeline, and I thought it was a decent story. Honestly, I felt it could have been a little better.
Yeah.
But it was a matter of, I like this issue a lot more than really the last arc or two on the title.
Yeah, because I had dropped Wonder Woman probably about, if I had to guess, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't liking the direction. It was boring me. It just wasn't fun. And so I heard a lot of people like the new creative team, so I've been toying with the idea of maybe dipping my toes back in.
Definitely, I think it's worth considering.
Okay.
Art alone I thought was great. I thought the story was good. Part of it, though, is DC's changed up their continuity enough.
Yeah.
That I don't know Maxwell Lord's backstory in this world.
Oh, so you don't know where it's actually, or what he knows and how he fits in.
I know there are a couple of things that historically he had done that he couldn't have done in this timeline, and I'm wondering how that changes his whole continuity.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, interesting.
If you think about it, every character has those certain moments that, if that one moment doesn't happen, they're a fundamentally different character.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Superman, the whole rocketed to Earth thing.
And if that doesn't happen, it's completely different.
Might be great, could be a good sci-fi story, but it's not Superman.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and for other characters, it's less significant, but still a key moment.
So you just don't know because continuity's kind of messed up at the time.
More than kind of messed up at the time, yeah.
It's really messed up.
And it doesn't matter, they're doing what they're doing, and I was enjoying it, but that's one of the things that is kind of an anchor on my enjoyment on DC titles sometimes these days, is having to kind of explicitly recalibrate my, not my memory or whatever, but you know what I mean, my expectations and such.
Exactly. Now, one thing, I agree with you. I think Bendis is putting out solid work. I liked Action. I liked Superman. I liked Young Justice. They were all very solid for me. So I'm really happy that he's on there, and I'm kind of disappointed that the rumors are that he may be off the books, you know, the books he's writing right now.
Yeah, I got mixed feelings on that, because I do like what he's doing. But like with that Young Justice, I was expecting answers. I just got more questions.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
You know, and I expect some of that, but there's also a matter of, like with that Action Comics issue, I loved seeing both of the Superboys. That was fun.
That was cool.
But the delays because of the pandemic and stuff meant this came out after an event that had happened in Jimmy Olsen's series, so things were kind of flipped time-wise on that.
That's what I was feeling, too. I was reading, I was like, this should have already happened, and then I'm like, oh yeah, pandemic, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just really weird because DC shipped so soon, it almost feels like they shouldn't have jumbled it out of order, but they did somehow.
Well, and I think there's also an aspect of, in this stay-at-home time that we've been in for a few months now, time feels different.
It does. If you're staying at home, it feels completely different.
Because it feels like they're putting out an issue of Flash every week. I mean, they're doing it maybe every other week, but it's like, we've gotten 10 since they've started back up, but...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's been 3 months.
It was weird because when we first got our shipments from Cowabunga, when we started getting things, because they were going through Diamond, those first, like, 4 weeks, I think I got an issue of Flash every single shipment. And I was just like, what in the heck is going on here?
I don't know that we got one the first week, but the second week I think we got two.
Yeah, two. And then we got week. It's like, it was weird, wasn't it?
And then we got, I think we skipped a week, got one, then got the annual, and then got one, or something like that. It's like, every time you turn around, it's like, oh, there's another issue of the Flash.
Yeah, and now they're done with this run. They're going to a new creative team. Because they shipped it all. It's all out.
Exactly. Well, and it's funny because some titles are going faster like that. Flash and Justice League seem to be ones that are going pretty quick.
Yeah.
But there are others like Far Sector, which should be in the next shipment we get, the first one of August, and it's going bi-monthly.
Oh, wow. And that really hurts if you're reading with any kind of momentum or even remembering what's going on. Because, you know, when we were doing our reviews of older comics, new comics, they don't really get you caught up or clue you into what's going on if you hadn't read the last issue.
Yeah, if you don't have the context going in, they're not helping you out because they're figuring you just read that part of the trade paperback.
Exactly, and I hate that so much. That's one thing I don't like about modern comics. I feel like they should have that accessibility thing going on. But anyways, different topic. But now, one thing you didn't mention, what is it called? Death Metal 2 came out?
Dark Knight's Death Metal 2.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
The first page, really, I'm like, come on, seriously, this is where you're going? Even if only for a page, and I thought it was a bad joke, and it's like, come on.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, a car, a monster truck, I was like, this is just getting ludicrous.
Ludicrous is a good phrasing of it. I think the ending of it was a bit, more than a bit, over the top.
I'm like, what am I supposed to think about this? I don't know.
There were one or two things I liked in it, some characters we got to see and stuff, and I was like, okay, that's cool. But the entire premise and take on it is kind of what I consider that shock and awe, oh man, this will be so cool kind of storytelling.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I want to read cool stories, don't get me wrong, but if you're trying to wow me with the coolness versus the characterizations, the plot, the story, you know, whatever, I think you failed.
Yeah. See, I feel the same way. What was weird is, I don't want to say I didn't, it wasn't that I disliked the book, because I didn't. I enjoyed myself. I read it, and I was like, okay, that's fine. But they're saying this is kind of like the thing that matters. This is going to be the thing that the DCU kind of hinges on going forward, this story. And I'm just like, it's so over the top. It's just bizarre that they would make this book kind of the hinge pivot point for the whole universe.
Well, and that's part of why I decided to go ahead and keep going with it beyond just the first issue.
Yeah, I'm on board too, just because I got to know where we're going.
Well, to me, it's less that I got to know where we're going, it's that I got to decide if I'm going to go with them afterwards.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's really bizarre. And one thing I can say about the event itself, I remember the first Dark Knights, when I read that, I was kind of confused with a lot of stuff because I had very limited DC background at that point. Very limited. And in this one, I felt bad for people who jumped in just to read the event because it really ties in so much into his whole Justice League run that if you aren't reading that, you're going to be clueless on what's going on in here.
Yeah, I think so. It does not have the accessibility I think it should, and it's really not what I'm looking for in a DC event.
Yeah, I thought it would be better, but at the same time, what's weird is I don't find myself bored with it, and I'm able to enjoy it, but it's just kind of nutty, wacky, over-the-top, shock and awe, and I feel like I gotta know where it's going because they're saying it's so important, but at the same time, I feel just completely like, man, this is not really something that I would read if it didn't matter.
If it were the same sort of a thing, but as an Elseworlds versus a future of the DC Universe, I absolutely would have skipped it.
Me too. That's the way I feel, because I feel like it's not essential, but yet it's essential as it can be. So,
well,
very weird.
For me, the whole concept of essential reading, particularly at DC, is changing.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I'm not reading a lot of their kind of core titles. I'm not reading Aquaman, Green Lantern. I'm not going to say Suicide Squad's a key title, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, big names.
There are a lot of them that, you know, I'm not reading and I'm not missing. Therefore, you know, how much of DC really is, for me, essential reading? Now, for other people, maybe totally different, and that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, they don't need to read any of it. For others, they want to read all of it, and that's awesome.
I agree with you with everything you said. And now, on the flip side of that, this was something that's really, it's not working for me, but at the same time, I can read it and not be bored. So I don't know how you describe that. Batman 95 came out, which was the beginning of the Joker War, and I did enjoy that. How about you? Did you like that?
Well, with 94, I thought it was okay, not great, and it felt like it kind of ignored parts of King's run. And then with 95, I thought it was good, but it's going to be hard to top, and you know they're going to try to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yep.
There's a certain amount of don't overplay your hand, because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, I know exactly. It feels like this was kind of like, man, we're already out to a sprint in the first issue of Joker War. I mean, it was fun. You get to see that cool-looking suit in there. You get to see, you know, the fight between some big characters in there, and it's kind of a cool ending, but I know exactly what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, imagine, take any major blockbuster, be it, you know, Terminator, The Matrix, Star Wars, or whatever, you're going to pace the story differently for a movie where you're in and out in 2 hours versus a TV show where you've got like a 20-hour, you know, season or something.
Exactly. Yep.
And with an ongoing title like Batman, particularly getting so close to issue 100, you know, it's going to be not that long from now that they're trying to top this. And maybe they can, maybe they can't. And I'm not saying they should be holding back or anything, but I do think there's a certain aspect of storytelling where if you're always trying to one-up yourself, you're doomed.
Yeah, I agree. There was one statement in that comic which I really enjoyed, and I agree with everything you've said on it, but I thought it was kind of funny that Tinian, what he kind of spoke to the people reading the comic through the Joker, he's like, you know, basically saying they don't want new. They want to see it peeled back, a layer they didn't know about before. Basically saying that we don't want change in the characters, really. And I wonder if he almost said that in, you know, kind of like a backhanded thing, you know, to people who were complaining about King's Run and not enjoying it, that we are always just looking for this hidden layer that we didn't know about that's going to tell us about this character, and they don't really want something new. I just found that kind of like ironic you put that in there.
Ironic is one word.
Or insulting.
That's another word. I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it.
I was thinking that could be insulting, kind of ironic. I took it as like a, man, he's backing King in there. That's the way I took it. But I was like, wow.
I always find it a little, really offensive, actually, I guess the only way to put it.
Yeah.
When somebody says you don't like change, when really you just don't like that particular change.
Yeah.
But it's such extremist thinking that, well, if you don't like that, you wouldn't like anything. I'm like, it's ridiculous. Come on.
Exactly. I was thinking, no, we want change. We want good change, not a bad thing. Which, I mean, with King's Run, there was, I would say, not some good things that happened in there, personally, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways, that was kind of like the slap at the audience, or however you want to take it.
You reading Justice League these days?
Believe it or not, I am not reading Justice League. I got my last issue in June, so how is it going?
I'm really not excited about this storyline.
Okay, it was kind of like, I wasn't enjoying it in June. I was like, this is not doing it for me, so I'm like, eh.
The basic concept is they're kind of inexplicably on an alien, maybe they explained it and I just didn't pay attention and care, but I'm going to go with inexplicably on an alien planet that they wind up becoming the rulers of. And I'm like, I'm not really crazy about a story about the JLA ruling an alien world for any reason.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
You know, I'd rather they be back on Earth doing, you know, I don't know, maybe this crazy idea of crime fighting.
They're going to rule a planet now. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'd pick the perfect time to jump off.
Could be.
Anyways, so, I mean, hey, did anything else stand out to you, good or bad, with DC?
Two things that stood out and that didn't really work for me. That's not to say they're bad, but just for me they didn't work. I'm not really caring for kind of this darker take on Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it's really almost really none of the characters are what I would consider classic, core, iconic Teen Titans.
Yeah, it got really dark out there. Yep, I know exactly what you mean.
So that one I'm debating, do I stay with the title or not? And then the free comic book day issue, the silver book or whatever, essentially was a sales pitch for the younger reader graphic novels, and it's stuff I'm just really not likely to get.
Yeah, I took that to work and gave it to one of the moms with a child at home, because I was like, that's not for me, really.
Yeah, and again, not bad, just I'm not the target audience.
Exactly, so I'm like, hey, put it to use, instead of throwing it in the recycle bin, I gave it to a kid.
smart. But yeah, I wouldn't say there was too much. Again, Shazam, I thought it was a good issue, and it's a shame the series is only going to, you know, last until, like, what, issue 15?
Yeah, and they actually took off Geoff Johns and put someone else on for the last few issues, which was, it's kind of weird, but I guess Geoff Johns is just too busy, or...
I don't know.
Who knows?
Shall we move over to Marvel?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so for me, there were a couple of things that I thought were particularly noteworthy.
Okay. Doctor
Strange number 5, I thought it was good, and man, I just wanted more story.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It was good, but yeah, we needed more to it.
And the gap since the previous issue was released, like in early March, didn't help the issue.
Yeah, you're looking at 4 months, and it was so hard to, oh yeah, this is what's going on. You know, it's really tough. Even if they recap it, it's just so far.
That's one where, and they may not have had this option, but if they could have put in, I don't want to say every first new issue of a Marvel title after the pandemic, if they put like a 3 or 4 page thing, maybe even a gatefold cover kind of a thing that would have kind of a pictorial in-depth previously on, it's like, oh yeah, that's where we were.
Yeah, because I really like the title, but it's just, we're so far removed. And that happened with a lot of books recently, you know, that we got back from the pandemic. It's just like, I'm kind of just thumbing through them. I'm just like, I don't remember where we are.
Well, another one was X-Men Fantastic Four number 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
4 month gap there.
I had no clue. I couldn't remember what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, the issue got me back up to speed. It had a solid resolution, so it worked for me, but it fortunately was not one that was hinging on where it had left off right before.
I agree, yeah.
And this certainly changes the dynamic between a couple of key characters in the Marvel Universe moving forward.
Yeah, and I agree. And then they also came out with the Empire Fantastic Four number 0, I guess it would have been.
Was that July? Was that
I had it down for
June.
July 8th.
Okay, I was...
Fantastic Four. It was like they're an arena.
No, you're right.
Okay, yeah. I really enjoyed that. I like that more than the Empire, I think it was X-Men or Avengers number 0. I like the Empire Fantastic Four much better, where like the kids, when I say kids, it's a young Kree and a young Skrull.
Yeah.
And they basically keep fighting over and over to the death. And, you know, seeing how that played out, I thought that was a nice little intro for people who don't know the maybe seething hatred that those two had for each other and, you know, the Fantastic Four, their background with the characters. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was good, but it didn't feel like essential reading for the event.
You could have skipped it. Yep. Yeah. That was the weird thing. I had fun with it, but I'm like, you didn't need to put Empire on there. It could have just been a one-off, you know?
Or just an issue of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, exactly. They just found these kids in space, issue number 27 or whatever.
Well, it kind of sort of tied into where they'd been before, so this is one of those that's been long enough since I've read it that some of the details escape me. But the whole Empire thing is kind of just there for me. And in the not working that great for me.
Okay, yeah, I understand what you mean. Now, one thing that's weird with me, I'm enjoying it, but I don't think it's a great... It's not one of the better events that I've read recently. Like, War of the Realms was much better than Empire. And what's weird is they have two writers on there, so I just expected a little more synergy and a little bit more, you know, boom, pop with it. So it's a good enough story, and I'm enjoying it, but it doesn't feel as epic as they make it out to be.
And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not crazy about the event.
Yeah.
The concept for the event. Let me phrase it that way. You know, the Kree-Skrull piece.
Exactly.
Okay. It's a good story. The first issue didn't really win me over. Not bad. Just didn't get me excited. And the second issue didn't really get me excited about it. The third didn't really get me excited about it. And I'm not overly impressed by the event. Whereas there have been some others where it's like, wow, this is big, it's changing stuff, it's exciting, you know, it's good character moments, stuff like that.
Yeah, this one, I imagine there's going to be some kind of status quo change, but I feel like nothing's going to change when I'm reading it, and I don't want to mean that to sound bad. It feels like almost like mindless popcorn, you know, summer hit, you know, summer, you know, movie that you're going to watch where you don't have to think. You can just, you know, munch on your popcorn and enjoy it. This doesn't seem that deep to me. It doesn't seem like we're going to get any deep characterization. But at the same time, it's fun. If you just want something that's mindless and you go in and enjoy it for what it is, you really don't need to know anything going into the event, I feel like.
Well, it's funny because I felt it was pitched as a Kree-Skrull story, and then this third group kind of comes in and is the focus of the event.
Yeah, are they Kotati or...
Sure, we'll go with that pronunciation.
I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, like I'd get it right.
We're both horrible pronunciations. Hey, they're plant people. They can't get too offended. But, yeah, that's the way I felt. I was like, there was some, you know, basically some hints that there may be a division coming up, possibly. But I don't like the Kreese girl piece. I like them when they're at each other's throats. I know that sounds horrible, but that's what I like. But I want to say I'm enjoying it, but it's not amazing.
Yeah. Again, I'm liking it. It's okay.
Yeah. That's how I feel. It's like, okay, it's an average book, but it's taken over most of the books here because there's a lot of Empire that's coming out. It's coming out almost weekly, it feels like.
I think it is coming out weekly.
Yeah, so we're going to get through it quick.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is just coming out fast.
Yeah, and then we have the Empire X-Men, and then you have the Empire tying into Fantastic Four if you're reading that, and into Avengers if you're reading that. So you're starting to see it sprinkled. So I'm getting Empire, it seems like, every week, you know, like a couple or three books.
Yeah. Now, one of the titles not getting taken over by Empire is Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did you think of, like, the Sins Rising prelude?
I enjoyed it. How about you?
It's just not my kind of story, and it got me even less excited about it.
Okay, you didn't like it. Okay, I did not love it. I enjoyed it. So I don't know if I'm going to be completely on board. So I was kind of like sitting at like a C-plus type range for it, where I'm like, oh, I'm okay with it. It's cool, but it's not something I loved.
Well, and that we got two issues of Amazing Spider-Man, and honestly, neither of them particularly worked for me.
Yeah, they didn't even make my list. I didn't put notes down for something I really liked.
Well, for me, one of them was the narration of issue 44 kind of kept me at a distance from the events of the story, and it just didn't work for me, and there was a few other narrative things. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And then we get to 45, which is the part of Sin's Rising, I think, and we start with two pages of flashback, exposition, backstory, you know, whatever, before really introducing the character narrating that.
Yep.
And I'm like, I think I know who this is, but I'm not sure. That didn't get off for a good story. You know, we get this whole flashback of the Sin Eater backstory. There was one place, it's like I got confused by the storytelling, and I'm like, I think I know what you're showing me here, but the events after it is as if that didn't happen. I'm confused.
Yeah, I find myself currently where it used to be Amazing Spider-Man was like a top-of-the-pile book, you know, something you want to read because it's a flagship character for Marvel, to where now Nick Spencer's been writing it, and Nick can be a great writer. He can also be a just so-so or not very good writer, and I'm just really not enjoying his Spider-Man. The best thing that he's written in there, if I'm looking back, was probably the Hunted thing with Kraven, and that wasn't even that amazing, you know? It's just been kind of so-so. I mean, there's some cool Mary Jane stuff she's reintroduced, but as a whole, I'm just ready for a new writer already. I know that sounds weird, but that's where I am.
He's a good writer. I'm wondering how much of it is problems in the script or it not getting executed well by the artist or editorial influence. I don't know. But the title right now is not working for me.
Yeah, and it's kind of surprising because Amazing Spider-Man is usually solid. So, yeah, I've been kind of disappointed with that, and I've been kind of reading it just because I've always read Amazing Spider-Man. Kind of like the people who read Batman, they've always read Batman, you know, even when it stunk when Tom King was writing it. For me, they just kept reading it.
I've been reading it since Secret Wars.
Yeah, so I don't want to say it's a bad book. It's just, for me, it's okay. It's always just okay.
Right now, it's not in a good spot.
Yeah, and I can see exactly where you're coming from. Because I find myself bored sometimes when I read it, which is never good.
Yeah, for me, when it got to one part of the storytelling where it's like, I'm confused. I literally had to go back, and it's like, I still don't get it.
He's writing cryptic like he did in Morning Glories.
There's a level of the story I haven't gotten to, and there's a, what I'm seeing does not make sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, that just didn't work for me. Did you read X-Factor number one?
I did. What did you think of X-Factor? And then I'll tell you mine.
Overall, I thought a couple of characters were a little standoffish, surprisingly so, and didn't fit how we'd seen them before.
Yeah.
There was one character whose powers didn't work how I remember or how I think they'd ever been shown before. Okay. But basically, it was setting up a mutant missing person investigation group.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm cool with that. What I did not understand is how Madrox the Multiple Man was not part of the group.
Yeah, I agree with that. With me, I think it's the writer, because I think it's Lee Williams or Leah. I don't know how. Is that a guy or a girl? I don't know.
No idea.
No clue. It could be a guy or a girl writing it. I think it's Lee Williams. When I read it, I got everything that you read. she put a lot of info dumps, a lot of dialogue in there. So it was a big book, but it took a long time to read, which sometimes can be good, sometimes can be bad. In this case, I thought it was a little bit bad because I found myself a little bit bored when I read it. It felt like it was like putting the band together, info dump, info dump, info dump, and not a lot happened. And for such a thick issue with so much writing, I just wanted something to happen. I just felt a little bored.
Yeah, I think they could have introduced this concept a bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what they're trying to do here. But again, Jamie Madrox, I think just from having been a key X-Factor member for ages, he should have been there. And they set it up to where there was a very clear logistical need for his ability to be there.
Yeah, I agree. So he needs to be there, but not there. So what do you do?
Yeah. So it was good. It generally, it worked for me, but I do think there are some places it could have been better.
Yeah, so I'm ready for the second issue just because I want to see the action pick up a little bit or something happening. I'm not off of it, but for me, it was just kind of like average, this first issue.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas they've had a few others. Well, again, House of X, Powers of X type stuff generally really worked for most people.
Yeah.
So I was hoping they'd knock a few things kind of out of the ballpark.
Yeah, me too. That's where I was. Other things that I really enjoyed, I enjoyed Fantastic Four, but it tied into Empire, so we've already kind of talked about that, but I really did enjoy that. Issue number, I think it was 21.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was good, but I don't know if you had to read Empire, because I'm reading it as I'm reading Empire, so I don't know if it wouldn't work for people who skip the event. Free Comic Book Day. I really liked it. One story, and I really kind of was like weird with another one. What did you think of the Free Comic Book Day X-Men?
For the X-Men one, I would say Empire is just getting started. Do we really need to be queuing up X of Swords in the Dark Ages events?
I did think that. What was funny is when I saw Free Comic Book Day X-Men number one, I literally thought, man, they just gave us a reprint of X-Men number one? And I almost thought about just bagging it and throwing it in the box. And thank God I opened it. But yeah, X of Swords, so I'm okay with that, but they introduced it in the weirdest way. Almost like the least entertaining way you could introduce it, I thought, with the tarot thing.
I still think it was better than the other Free Comic Book Day, the Spider-Man Venom one.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah.
It just didn't get me excited about the upcoming Spider-Man or Venom stories, and that's as much the upcoming Spider-Man and Venom stories as anything else.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, the Dark Ages one by Tom Taylor, it got me really excited to read that. That second half of the X-Men Free Comic Book Day.
It didn't work for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a Tom Taylor fan, so.
I like a lot of his stuff, but there's certain just storytelling tones and styles and stuff that I'm just not crazy about, and that was kind of, you want to go in that direction, it may be a great story, but that's not the direction I want to go.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you. Now, one other thing. Are you reading Captain Marvel?
Nope.
Okay. I figured you dropped that. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like the highlight, like one of my top books, but it's really up there because this issue, it did, once again, you know, you're tying into stuff that happens in Empire because Captain Marvel's over there in Empire, mm-hmm. of course, due to her history and her DNA, but she has become the Accuser.
I thought that was an interesting kind of thing, and
And that's not a spoiler, because it's on the cover of the issue. It's like the Supreme Accuser, and it's been out there, so if you look at an issue, you'll know. But I think it's really, they've shown her in here, and I really like that take, and I think this book was excellent. And it was kind of like okay to good before, and this one was like, oh man, I really liked it. I like this Captain Marvel number 18.
Do you think that take will last after this event?
No. I think she'll lose the hammer, honestly. There was a big change in here where a character was introduced, and I'm not going to talk about that unless you want me to talk about it afterwards, just for people who don't know. Which could be an important thing, or it could just be something that's forgotten. I don't know. It's a new character.
That's true of so many comics.
Exactly. So it's like, it could be like something that's going to be a big seller on the aftermarket, or it could be something that, like, who was that?
Yeah, yeah. Did you read the final issue of Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality?
I did.
Overall, I liked it. It's another one where it had been ages since the previous issue came out.
Yeah, long time.
Minimal story momentum for me going in, and I'm not crazy. Actually, I don't know how I feel about their in-continuity explanation of retcon
mm-hmm.
and how it actually played into the story. It made sense, But there's an aspect of kind of, but not quite, I don't want to say breaking the fourth wall, but getting a little metatextual.
I know exactly what you mean. Yep. And I'm also agree with you that all story momentum was killed for this story. It was kind of hard to read it again, reading just the last issue after, you know.
Months.
Months. However long it's been, 4 months, I think.
Yeah.
It just killed it for me. But well, I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just, you know, nobody wants to take 4 months between an issue.
Well, yeah, you get four parts of it. In the final climactic issue, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get to do it in 4 months' time.
And me trying to remember, what happened again? What was that? Oh.
And again, that's all pandemic. It's got nothing to do with the creative team, any of that stuff.
It sucks.
But add to that, we got some splash pages with exposition and talking heads and stuff. And
it was
a good issue, but the ending just fell flat for me.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It did kind of fall flat for me, and I think we'll see some more symbiote Spider-Man just by that, you know, to continue.
They teased another series. I mean, I don't know what the hell it's going to be about, but...
Yeah.
What
apparently Apparently we're getting another one.
Yeah, what I couldn't tell is how much of the ending fell flat for me because of the delay, and how much of it would have fallen flat if it come out on time.
That I don't know. And it's so tough because... You know, you can't put yourself in a time warp and read it by the way it was supposed to be read. But I think there's something that to be said for reading it the way it was meant to be read, that maybe it would have carried for some momentum. I like the writer. Here's Peter David. And it would have read better. But when you chop things up and, you know, take 4 months off, it kills it, I feel like. And it's tough because it may have been a great story, but it's tough to be a great story with a four-month break.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I've been feeling a fair amount in what I've been reading lately.
A lot.
Because, I mean, when you do kind of six-issue stories as just a matter of course on most titles, either you've just started it and we're doing a four-month gap between the second chapter, or you're almost done with it in the four-month gap before the final chapter, it's awkward.
It's very awkward. And now, are you still reading the X-Men?
Yeah.
So you got X-Men number 10. What did you think of that? Or did you think anything? I don't mean to test your memory.
I definitely thought a few things on that one.
It was bizarre. It was kind of different than all the other ones we've read up until now.
Vulcan, I recalled, but like, who the hell are Petra and Sway?
I don't. I really don't know, and I didn't research them online. I just didn't take the time. But I was just like, who are these? It got kind of weird.
I didn't think it was a great issue of X-Men or a really good Empire tie-in.
No, it didn't seem like the best of either world. They tried to make some, like, you know, make it, like, kind of sensual on the moon type thing. But then it's kind of bizarre how it tied into Empire. I'm like, is Krakoa going to be playing a bigger part in this? I just don't know. We don't know where. It didn't tie in as well as I thought it could have.
Yeah, and it wasn't a horrible issue or anything.
No.
But, again, who are some of these characters? I've been reading the X-Men since Secret Wars. And part of it is there's a ton of X-Men, so sure, I'm going to forget a couple here and there. But when two-thirds of the focal characters of the issue are like, who are they again?
You were thinking that too. I was like, I don't remember them. I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah. And maybe it doesn't matter who they were. And maybe it's going to be... I'm sure somebody will say, oh, these two are the, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm going to be, oh, yeah. But I haven't had that oh, yeah moment yet.
Yeah. I think the big tying in part is that very last word on the last page where they're talking about it. How I think there could be a big thing role to play in there, but it's yet to be seen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anything else on Marvel?
No, that's pretty much it. I think we covered all the things I took notes on, so I'm good.
Shall we move over to the other publishers?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So for me, this is some good stuff. I liked Adventure Man number 2. I thought it was good. Still feels like the story's just kind of getting started.
Yeah, me too. That's how I felt. It was good, but it feels like it's just starting to build momentum.
The Free Comic Book Day issue from Chapter House for Captain Canuck and Captain Battle. I liked it, but Chapter House hasn't been doing a great job of actually getting issues out on a regular basis.
So regardless of how you like it, you may not be getting it.
I stopped getting their books a while back when I think they stopped coming out.
That's kind of funny. You're making me laugh.
It's unfortunate. I hate it when that happens. I appreciate them getting a Free Comic Book Day issue out, but I honestly was surprised by it.
Yeah. I believe it or not, that's kind of... Well, that's hilarious. I didn't read that one, but you're making me laugh by your take on it.
Dr. Tomorrow, I thought, was a good issue. It felt kind of like an interlude of sorts, but it was needed for where they're kind of going with the story and stuff.
Yeah. One thing I was going to ask you, are you still reading Join the Future? Because I know the second issue you didn't like as much as the first. I think we got the third issue.
I read the third. I didn't expect where this issue ended.
Okay, so are you like it or not? Don't like it?
I'm liking it, but I don't know that I would consider it, you know, oh my god, I must keep getting this.
I'm really enjoying it. So for me, it's like something that I remember, which is a good sign. If I remember the book, it means it's sticking in my mind. It means it's something I'm enjoying. So I'm on board for the run. I like it.
I'm not seeing any reason to jump off it, but if I had to make cuts, it would be in that under consideration.
Yeah. Two that lost momentum for me were the Brian Haberlin books, Sonata and Marked.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's just because of the spacing and the pandemic, it killed the momentum for me, and it's hard to remember what was going on.
Sonata felt kind of oddly rushed, and there was just way too much exposition in that issue.
Yeah, I agree. They were always like top of the pile things, but they kind of slipped. I was just like, I just didn't enjoy them as much, those two.
Well, and I like the Mark, but it's one of those, honestly, I could cut it if I needed to.
That's how I feel, too. I'm enjoying it, but I don't feel like it's must-read material.
Yeah, and part of it for me is having had those couple of weeks off during the shutdown and stopping of new comics coming out, it made me kind of reassess what am I reading and why, and take a closer look at some of these things when they come out.
Yeah.
And it may be a perfectly fine title, but that doesn't mean I need to get it.
That's how I'm starting to feel. If it's not something that I really, really like or enjoy, I'm just like, I feel like I'm going through the motion then and just taking up space.
Now, one that did pleasantly surprise me was Resistance number 3.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
And that whole issue was about kind of the public persona of heroes and villains in this world versus actually, you know, being a hero or a villain.
Yes, I agree. It felt like it sprinkled in, it's not the same, but it sprinkled in some of the Boys with some of, I'm trying to think, maybe a little bit of Powers from Brian Michael Bendis. I felt like that sprinkled into this issue. It was a lot of fun, I thought.
It was the sort of story I think you could see in Astro City.
Yeah, completely.
It'd be a different take on it, but it does not surprise me that Straczynski went in that kind of direction.
Yeah, this issue was a lot of fun, and I think, you know, that first issue was so weird reading the pandemic. Right when the pandemic was happening, it was just so bizarre, we reviewed it. But since then, it's turned into a really great book, and I think more people should read this. And do you mind if I take a little tangent here?
Sure, go ahead.
AWA, I have enjoyed everything they printed. I think they're just knocking it out of the park, so I'm enjoying Devil's Highway, I'm enjoying Hotel, I'm enjoying Year Zero, Archangel, Red Border. So everything that they have printed, Old Haunts is the other one that's coming out right now, I'm really enjoying. So it's kind of like I'm all in on that publisher. And I think it's, oh, what's his name?
Axel Alonso?
Axel Alonso. He's the guy, and he still has a deep Rolodex, and he's able to get some talent in there writing these books. So good job to them. I'm proud of them.
This is the only title from them I've read.
Oh, okay. Well, some of them I know you wouldn't like, because a couple of them are horror.
Yeah, it's
pretty gruesome. And what the Year Zero is more of a zombie take. Zombies, depending Walking Dead you like, but some gross stuff you don't. But they have some other stuff coming out that's going to be different. One called, I'll let you know how it's going, tell you if I think you'll like any.
Yeah, if you see something from them that's kind of in my wheelhouse or whatever, let me know. Because I've liked this, it's just when it launched was unfortunate timing.
Yeah, it was so bizarre doing that review.
I think we would have had a very different take on that book if we had read it, you know, a month or two earlier.
Yeah, we would have been like, this is amazing, this is so cool, and little did we know, it was going to be coming and hitting us right in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what did you think of both the Firepower Prelude trade and then that Free Comic Book Day Firepower number 1?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Okay, when I was first reading it, I tried not to post too much online because I knew we were doing this new comic spotlight, and I didn't want to tell people my thoughts on new comics if we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And sometimes I'd be like, good. You know, that was pretty much all I said. I really, really enjoyed it, but it was weird. okay, I really enjoyed the trade paperback prelude
mm-hmm.
more than the first issue, which is the free comic book day. So the trade paperback, you're getting the whole background of the character. I felt like it was like an Iron Fist mixed with a Family Man type, you know, theme. You had like a, not to be insulting, but almost like a Mr. Miyagi character teaching him and Kunlun. But not yeah. that those are the names of the places, but that's what it felt like. And I just felt like it was excellent. I felt like I got to know the character so well in that first trade paperback. I'm on board. And then I read the free comic book day. I'm like, is this the same thing? What the heck? I read all that cool stuff, and now I'm watching a guy barbecuing burgers in the backyard. I was like, what am I reading? And then at the end, it hooked me again.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I felt that I really enjoyed the trade. I was expecting, honestly, a little bit more Avatar The Last Airbender than Iron Fist, but I was happy with what we got.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting kind of the narrative jump at the end. And then when I got to the free comic book day thing, I'm like, it's a good first issue, but I think I would have been totally lost without that prelude trade.
Yeah, yep.
And I liked what was in the trade more than I liked the present day stuff in the issue.
I'm glad you said that, because I did too. I'm like, the clans that were going on and that kind of, you know, conflict, I want to know more about that. I don't want to know about this other stuff that was happening in issue one. So I like the tease at the end of that free comic book day, because I like the trade so much more.
Now, I think the first week of August, we get the first two issues of Firepower.
All right, cool.
So when we come back and talk about the stuff in August, I may be able to tell you if I'm continuing with the title or not.
Yeah, so far, I thought it was good, and depending on how the second issue goes, I'm hoping it deals more with what we read in the trade paperback.
I'm hoping, but I'm not expecting.
Yeah, me too. That's where I got a little bit disappointed.
I mean, I'm on board for now, but I'm not sure if I'm going to stick around long-term on this or not.
I know exactly what you mean. Now, we did have another title by Mr. Kirkman, which was a little bit of a surprise.
Yes, Negan Lives, number one.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, I take my hat off to Mr. Kirkman, because to come back with a Walking Dead surprise title right after the pandemic when stores need money and give it to him for free, he couldn't have done anything more. I really want to applaud him for that.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue this is not essential reading to the core Walking Dead saga, whatever, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, who knows, who cares. It was a good story, and absolutely, I thought it was very cool of Robert Kirkman to do something like that to help out the stores. And not just to, oh, here's a free issue of, you know, Firepower or something like that. No, he went all in and said, this is something that'll go for the Walking Dead audience, the biggest audience he's got, to help out the retailers. I respect that.
I so respected that, because he could have made a mint by, you know, just printing this and selling it for, you know, $4.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have sold, you know, 80,000 copies, and in a reprint number two, another 30,000. Made a ton of money. But no, he did it for free, helped out the stores. So cool. And did you read the back matter in it too?
I'm trying to think.
Well, what he did, he said it was not our intention to come out with this story. He basically said he was coming out with that story to kind of revisit it to help the stores. That's why they basically did it. He's like, it was never our intention to come back to here. And, you know, he was like good to say, he said, we want to put a blurb at the end of the Walking Dead, you know, by the way, Negan Lives, you know, something like that. But they revisited just to help out the stores, which I was like, man, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, and a cover price of $4.99 feels a little steep, but again, it all goes to the store, so hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah, there's no 50% cut to Diamond or to UCS or Lunar. That is 100% to your retailer's pocket.
So, again, nice of him to kind of give back to the community and such.
Yeah. Now, and also the book, did you think it was a good read?
I liked it. I thought it was a good story. I don't know that it's, you know, essential. Oh my God, you have to read it. So it's not like if you'd only read Walking Dead 1 through, you know, 182, wherever it ended and stuff. If you didn't read this, you wouldn't feel gypped or anything?
I agree. You don't need to read it. But at the same time, now I want to read more about Negan. I want to have just a Negan book from here on out.
Well, it's certainly a trial balloon for, you know, should he go back to this universe or not?
Yeah, because I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. Like you said, not essential reading. The story, it doesn't change the ending of Walking Dead or what we read, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I read in the other section that was particularly noteworthy, either good or bad.
I read a lot of stuff here and there. I mean, most of the stuff I gave you my notes on, I spent most of my time reading Morning Glories, but that was from a long time ago. Oh, Black Magic came out. One thing I wanted to say about Black Magic with Greg Rucka. Okay, this was the, kind of funny, sexy time book. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on here. I was like, man, there's a lot of nudity in here. But it was bizarre because he came out with issue 12, and the book has not been out for like 2 years. And so I don't remember what's going on. I remember I really like Black Magic. I kind of remember who the character was. But that's a two-year hiatus. You can't blame that on the pandemic. And I was just like, and he gave you no recap at the beginning. So I was just kind of disappointed that that's the way he went with it. And the other title that I've been reading, it's kind of not working for me, and I hate to say it, is The Boys, Dear Becky. There's a new Boys comic book series, and the reason why there's a new series is because there's a...
the Amazon show.
Yeah, the second season's coming out. I think it's August, this month. But the comic, it started off so slow, it's finally starting to pick up a little bit of momentum, but, you know, we're up to issue number 3, and I'm just like, I find myself a little bit bored reading it sometimes.
Well, that's another property that had been gone for a while and then came back.
Yeah.
So I think there's a challenge to the creator kind of getting back into the groove of it, too, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and then there was all kinds of random stuff that I read. Some of it I was getting ready to, you know, drop because I just wasn't enjoying it, so I didn't want to throw anyone under the bus that much.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Black Magic was one of those where it's like, where did this series leave off? I mean, it was a good issue, but it didn't really get back into the story for me as much as I wanted. At least I didn't get back in there. Absolutely not an all-ages title, but it's a mature reader's title, so not too surprising.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, hey, writers, if you're going to take 2.5 years off or 2 years and 2 months off, maybe put a recap in there and let us know what in the heck's going on, because I don't remember.
Well, or treat it as if it's a new title. Yeah, there's backstory and there's history, but don't assume we've memorized it and we remember it.
Yeah. So it's just bizarre. I just thought for sure there'd be, like, you know, a recap, and there's nothing. So disappointing.
Yeah, but I think that's something that we're going to be hitting those kinds of issues and problems for a little while longer now.
Yeah, I agree. It's the momentum killing. And also, you know, as we talk about that, let's say we picked up pandemic hit on issue 3. You know, we got our last issue in March, issue number 3. Okay, 4's been, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road. 4, 5, and 6. So it's not going to really be until maybe issue 7 when a new arc is starting that I'm going to feel like I'm back in the saddle again. So that's a tough place to put someone, you know, who may be thinking about dropping something.
Well, yeah, because if they've set stuff up properly in the first issue of the arc, that pays off in that 6th issue, and it's a monthly title, and we've added, you know, a 3-month delay, and maybe there's just some other delays just to spin stuff back up or whatever. I mean, you're talking a story that's spanning, you know, 9 months potentially.
Yep.
So that can be rough.
Yeah, it's really rough. So I kind of laugh because, I don't want to say I laugh, but I kind of chuckle to myself. Because there's some people who are asking me, who are basically trade league readers, you know, oh, how is Bendis's action? Or how is this? You know, I've been thinking about checking this out. I'm like, or this random comic. And I'm like, well, that came out a year ago. I remember I liked it back then, but I'm like, that was a year ago. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm just getting caught up. I'm like, man, that's, I can see why their life is easier and they're reading and their reading is much easier. Waiting a year or 2 years after the stuff's come out, and they just ask someone randomly, hey, is it good? And they can read the whole thing without any interruption. It's kind of bizarre.
It's definitely a different vantage point on the story, you know?
Exactly.
Because I've had a lot of TV shows that, you know, I'll catch up on late, binge through it, and it seems like invariably it goes downhill at that point I've caught up to.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm suddenly picking that magic point and it's always happening. No, it's because it views differently in rapid succession versus doling it out once a week, you know, and then have a hiatus for the winter and a break for the end of the season type stuff. Same thing with comics. How I'm reading some of these things, be it The Flash or Far Sector, like we said, it's going bi-monthly,
yep,
is going to be fundamentally different. Not better or worse, but different than if I read it as if it were, you know, a trade paperback and read it back to back.
Exactly. It'd be very different. So it's kind of weird because as we caught up on things during the pandemic, when I was reading more and more of my trades, it's a different reading experience. And some things that I'm kind of iffy on, I think they read better in a trade because you get that momentum and you're just able to read it issue to issue to issue and you don't forget.
I think there are stories that definitely read better in rapid succession. I think there are others that read better not in rapid succession.
Which ones do you think not in rapid succession? Well, actually, I have an idea, but what? Tell me maybe your idea.
I'm trying to think of a specific example. There are a couple where I've noticed, and there were some runs on various team titles where they'd end every issue on a cliffhanger. It's like, you didn't really make any progress this issue, but if it's a month apart, I'll have forgotten that by the time I read the next and get to the meaningless cliffhanger. But if I read them all at once and I realize there's six meaningless cliffhangers in a row and I could have skipped two stories and not missed any plot points.
Yep. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, that's what I hit.
Yeah. My prime example of that, I guess, if I was going to say, would be like a Why the Last Man. You know, the writer, he worked on Lost, the TV series, and it's known for having those, you know, water cooler moments, water cooler moments at the end, or the cliffhanger, where you want to go and talk to her, oh my god, did you see what happened? And everyone's waiting until the next week when the next episode came out. That's how you felt reading the issues in this comic, but when I'm reading it back to back to back, that cliffhanger's there, and by two page flips, I know what's going on, I'm like, oh, okay. But it doesn't have that same impact.
Well, so there's some stories you just need a little more time to digest.
Yeah, very much.
I mean, I think Astro City is probably one that reads better with time between some of the issues than if you were to just plow through the whole thing.
I agree with you there. Because they're meaty, wordy, the characterization in there is different than anything you can read anywhere else, and you need time to let it breathe like a fine wine.
Well, and they're generally either standalone or two- or three-part stories.
Yeah, you don't need to read them back-to-back. You're just, you know, putting it together and saying, this is a trade, but literally you can pick up any issue and read it by itself.
Exactly. It was written for one mindset. That's the mindset you want to read it in. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah, so I agree with you there, now that we talked about them. Like, but a lot of stories read better in trade, but not all of them.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that happened in July that I think is worth spending a few minutes about is Comic-Con at Home.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did two episodes on it, so I'm not going to go, you know, into too much crazy detail and stuff. But, man, from all I am reading, hearing, and seeing, and not reading, hearing, and seeing, it seemed like there was next to zero buzz from Comic-Con this year.
Yeah. I mean, I checked out one thing, and I was just basically like a YouTube video. I was like, no offense, but I'm like, this is kind of lame.
Which one did you check out?
Trying to remember. I watched only like 10 minutes of it. I'm trying to remember what it was. I'm sorry. You're testing my memory now, and
forgot
which one.
No, it's okay. It was a totally different experience than actually going to Comic-Con. I've still got a couple of panels I may watch, but I really don't feel any rush to watch them.
Yeah.
And it was so much like you're just watching somebody else's Zoom call.
Exactly. And then it was kind of weird because I thought it would be like something live and interactive, and it wasn't. It was like pre-recorded. So like I said, I only watched a few minutes because I was like, I can watch this anytime, and then I never went back to it. So it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, but not terribly surprised, and I'm glad they did something for Comic-Con. But I think in this day and age of the pandemic, where these sorts of videos were already out and about anyways from other, you know, YouTube channels and stuff like that, there was nothing that made it kind of Comic-Con specific.
Yeah. I did watch some of the Vikings stuff at the Vikings TV show, which isn't really comic related. I remember that one.
Yeah. No, I watched quite a few, and my sister and I talked about it and stuff on the episode and stuff. And it was,
yeah, I listened to it.
It was interesting, but it was so different than actually going there.
And it was kind of weird because you guys had like a lot of technical glitches as you're adding things to your stuff or to your little shopping cart. But it was kind of cool. I think it was, I can't remember the creator, but you were able to take all of his PDFs on all of his info that he was sharing.
That was Haberlin.
Haberlin, yeah. So that was, I was like, that's really cool that you got a ton of info from him.
Yeah. All of his, I don't know if they're still up that way, but all of his digitalarttutorials.com tutorials, except maybe one, all of them were free.
Oh, that's really cool.
And I'm like, I will add all of them to my cart. I will go grab all of them. You know, the guy knows what he's doing. So, but that was, I'm trying to think if I actually bought anything at Comic-Con. I don't think I did. The one thing I was expecting to buy was some Power Ranger stuff from Hasbro, because last year they had done at their panel a big announcement of, oh, here's all our new stuff. Hasbro didn't have a panel for Comic-Con for Power Rangers this year.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. It seems like I think a lot of people thought it was going to be something live interactive where maybe they could ask a question, you know, or something at someone's panel. And instead, it was literally like watching a Zoom video and just watching a video of just random people doing interviews or just talking. And to me, I was just like, I'll do that later. And then I never got around to it. I watched like a few minutes of something, and then I was like, oh, I'll get back to it, and never did.
I really think Comic-Con should have found some way to partner with a lot of major YouTubers to have them kind of host a panel of tracks or something. And just do, even if it's a quick intro-exit kind of a thing for every panel, but also coach the people doing the panel as to how to do better lighting, better video, and a better panel.
Exactly, instead of just random people doing whatever they wanted to do. Yeah, listening to your thing, I was just like, I'm glad I didn't watch a lot of videos. I probably would have been bored a little bit, but it was kind of cool hearing your recap. You saved me a lot of time.
Certainly the cheapest Comic-Con I've been to.
Yeah, no gas. Meals you would have paid for anyways at home, so technically no meals, no eating out.
Yeah, I just grabbed it out of my refrigerator, yeah.
Yeah, no hotel. I mean, it's awesome. You guys didn't get con crud? Nobody got sick?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the big thing that, you know, is gonna... I don't know what point the world has to get to for me to think, you know, I want to go to that con and I think it's safe.
Yeah. I honestly think nothing will be back to normal until there's probably a vaccine. I mean, that's my thinking, but...
Till there's a vaccine, till it's readily available and affordable and stuff like that.
Yeah, where there's a max vaccination. And honestly, you know, to fly a plane, you know, hold out your vax card. I don't know. Something like that, because it'd be kind of weird if you have a vaccine, but no one else does, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not reassuring.
No, I agree with that. I want to thank Billy Hogan. He sent in another clip for the recommendation roundtable. So I think I now have two for the next one. I think both of them might be from him.
Thanks, Billy.
I'll admit I was hoping for a little bit more participation in those episodes. So at this point, maybe they'll continue, maybe they won't. I'll keep running the clip at the end of all the episodes saying, hey, you know, we're still doing them. But if I don't start getting, you know, some more clips and stuff, I'll probably record enough to fill out that fourth episode and then call it done.
All right, I promise I'll try and record one.
I'm not trying to guilt people into doing it. It's just I think it's a cool way to share older comics or movies or television shows or other things you might like and, you know, other people might enjoy too.
Yeah.
We're still in a lot of places under, you know, stay-at-home type orders and such. There's plenty of ways to spend our time, and I think people would enjoy finding, you know, new ones to them.
I agree. And tomorrow will be a good day for me to record it because I don't have to go to work.
Nice. I envy you that.
Yeah, I'm taking off a day.
Cool. If listeners have thoughts as to what we should do in the next monthly comic spotlight, if they like the format, if they have suggested changes for the format, please let us know. We're still trying to figure this thing out, but we figured it'd be fun to talk about the new comics.
Cool.
So anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool. The September previews comes out on August 26th, so the preview spotlight deadline for September is going to be Saturday morning, September 5th, bright and early that morning. Please send in clips. These episodes live or die based on your input. It's a great way to share your love of comics and to highlight the stuff you enjoy so other people pick it up and it sells better and it sticks around. And right now, the creators could use your help, the titles could use your help, the stores could use your help. So let's get some people excited about some comics. So once again, the preview spotlight deadline for September 2020 is Saturday morning, September 5th. And a quick reminder that we've also got the recommendation roundtable episodes going. The point of those episodes is to help people find other ways to spend their time. So send in pics of comic books, either older ones, back issues, trades, whatever, novels, television shows, movies, video games, if there's a board game you think people might really enjoy or something. Let's get that out there. We've got a lot of ways we can spend our time in helping people find things that they might be interested in. It's just a great thing to do. I've gotten a lot of clips from Billy Hogan. I want to thank him for that. It reminded me that I should really go reread Astro City and put a few other things kind of back on my radar, including a couple of novels he recommended. I've added those to my reading list. We'll see when I get to them. But we've got got no deadline for these episodes. The way these episodes work is you send in one clip per pick, and that could be a particular book or video game or TV show, or it could be a series of books, anything that's kind of a unified thing. And when I get enough of those clips, I'll string them together, I'll kick out an episode. So that means if I get tons of clips, like when Billy sent me about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes of some great clips, that was enough for me to get two episodes put together, about an hour for one and about 45 minutes or so for the other. So that's what episodes 2 and 3 are. But if I don't get clips, it may be a while before that next episode comes out. And the reason I'm doing this is there are a lot of things hitting, like, the streaming services and stuff like that on not really a set cadence like we've got for the preview spotlight. So if you wake up one morning and say, you know what, there's a bunch of stuff I think people might enjoy, spend a few minutes, send in the clips, they get in the queue. And if it's another few months before you do the next one, that's great. But hopefully we have enough people sending in clips on a regular enough basis that we can be putting one of these episodes out every month, every other month, or something like that. So once again, the point here is just to recommend older comic books, novels, television shows, movies, video games, or anything else that doesn't really fit the format of the preview spotlight, but that you really want to kind of share your love of and encourage other people to check out. So once again, there's no deadline on those recommendation roundtable clips. It's an open invitation for everybody at all times. So please send in clips when you've got something you're thinking about and share the love. Join us next week as Sam and I continue our look at Squadron Supreme, covering issues 7 through 12. And in 2 weeks, when James and I talk about Stumptown number 1 through 4.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.